Okay, today's daf is Mem Hey. We're going to start on Mem Dalet Amabet at the words Tanan Hatam. It's about close to maybe 18 lines from the bottom. Okay, yesterday we discussed the relative value of currencies up against each other. And if you have Kesef against Zahav, the Kesef is always considered the money and the Zahav is considered the commodity. So in the words of the Gemara again, we have Tiva, which is like Matbea, the currency, and Pera, which means it's like Perot, it's like the object that you buy. So what was the relevance of all this? For a Kinyan. If you're going to do a Kinyan, there's no Kinyan with Kesef when it comes to Metaltalin objects. So if you're going to pass over money in order to acquire something, so we're going to assume that when you pass over the money, that's not a Kinyan and you can still change your mind about it. Versus if you pass over the payroll, the actual item that you're purchasing, then, and the person picks it up, then we're going to say that's a Kinyan, and therefore you can't change your mind. So therefore, when we're trading gold for silver, which is going to be right? We said, again, there were two readings of Rebbe. Are we going to say, the first reading of Rebbe was actually opposite our Mishnah, that the Kesef is the payroll, and the Zahav is the Matbea? But the reading of our Mishnah is the reverse, which is that the Zahav is considered the item that you're purchasing with the Kesef that you're using to buy things. And then also we said the Kesef is the same, it counts as currency compared to Nechoshet, compared to bronze, and then we had a whole listing of other items. So in the context of this discussion between silver and gold, the Gemara brings up a bunch of Mishnayot we're going to see. We're going to start with the first one of them, Mishnayot Imaser Sheni. Right, this also is from Maser Sheni. Yeah. Okay. Tnan Hatam. Beit Shammai Yomrim, Lo Ya'aseh Adam Sla'im Dinarei Zahav. Okay, actually, before we even start, we have to explain about Maser Sheni. Maser Sheni is the Maser that you would bring. Right? The Maser Rishon goes to the Levi. The Maser Sheni you have to bring and eat in Yerushalayim. Now, people didn't want to schlep all their fruits to Yerushalayim. So what did they say? You can flip it onto a coin, redeem it onto a coin, and carry the coin with you to Yerushalayim. And with that coin, you have to purchase food in Jerusalem. So you have to remember all these things because this is going to be the basis of all sorts of things. So now Beit Shammai says, if you have sla'im, okay, you took your fruits, okay, you have your fruits that were Maser Sheni fruits, you turn them into kesef, okay? Now you have a lot of kesef coins to schlep to Jerusalem, pretty heavy, right? Also, the coins become heavy at a certain point. So what do you want to do? You want to turn those into Zahav. Okay, so let's just do the terminology here according to the Mishnah. Lo yaseh adam sla'im, which are the kesef. Okay, the kesef is another word for sela. You can't make them dinarei zahav. You cannot turn them into dinarei zahav. Ubeit Hillel mitirin. Okay, Beit Hillel say, you're allowed to. Now, we don't know the reason yet, why you can or why you can't. And what we're going to have is a machloka Rabbi Yochanan v'Rish Lakish, which right away we're not going to know who says what. We're going to have three readings, actually, of what the actual machloka is about. Okay? They're all going to agree, if I remember correctly, about in which case the machloka applies. No, sorry. Each, I shouldn't say it like that. Within each reading, there's two opinions about whether the machloket applies even to more cases or just to this case. Okay, we're going to compare two cases. One is, where the first case is, this seems the pshat of the Mishnah, payroad, you turn into money, right? You redeem your Maser Sheni payroad into a coin, silver. Then you want to change it into gold. And that's what it seems the machloket is about. But according to this, what are we going to say? Why can't you turn it into gold? Because gold is, right, again, we'll see what the reason, but part of the reason is going to be because gold is payroll. Now, what do you have to do with Maser Sheni money, right? You can't purchase payroll with it outside of Jerusalem. So therefore, you can't turn it into gold. If you want to schlep less coins and you take your lots of silver coins, turn them into one big gold coin, you can't do that because the gold is like payroll. And you have to use your Maser Sheni only. Right? You can only flip it into currency, not into payroll.
So you have to stay on this side of the equation.
Exactly. Exactly. If you look at yesterday's chart, it has to be a matbea. Okay? So now, the question is, can you take payroll and turn them directly into Zahav? Can you redeem it onto a gold coin? Because you could say, compared to payroll, Zahav is
still
a coin. Or do you say that, no, it's also peirot, okay? So that's going to be, the debate is going to be, is the machloket only peirot to kesef to zahav? You know, meaning, can you turn the kesef you already redeemed the fruits on into gold? Or is it going to be even peirot themselves to zahav? So here we're going to have, and then we're going to see, okay, like I said, there's going to be three different readings of what exactly the basis of the machloket is. Rabbi Yochanan ben Rish Lakish. So this is our first reading. Like I said, we're going to have three readings about what the machloket of Rabbi Yochanan ben Rish Lakish is. Hanamar machloket b'slaim al dinarim. Okay, one says the machloket is just on slaim u'dinarim. Okay, now we're going to see why. Debet Shammai Savre kas betiva udava peiret. Right, just like our Mishnah. Kesef is the matbea when it compares to zahav. Zahav is the peirot. V'tiva aperi lo machalilinan, and you cannot flip, right? You can't take your kesef of Maaser Sheni and purchase stuff outside Yerushalayim that are considered peirot. Beit Hillel savre kaspa peire v'dava tiva. Beit Hillel says, no, it's the reverse. The kesef is the peirot. The zahav is the matbea. Upera ativa machalilinan, and you can't flip peirot onto a matbea. Aval, peirot al dinarim divrei hakol mechalalinan. However, when it comes to the second case, peirot to zahav, everyone would agree that you can flip it onto gold. Okay, because Beit Hillel would say anyway, gold is always a matbea, according to him. And Beit Shammai will say, even though compared to kesef it's not, compared to peirot, it's going to be a matbea. My time, midi dehave a kesef. So now we're going to read this inside. Midi dehave a kesef lebeit Hillel. Kesef lebeit Hillel, afagav de kaspa legabe dava, afagav de kaspa legabe dava pere habe. Sorry, I didn't read that right. Midi dehave a kesef. Sorry. Divrei hakol mechalalinan. Why? Because just like we said about the kesef, that lebeit Hillel, just like we said about kesef according to Beit Hillel. Kesef lebeit Hillel, afagav de kaspa legabe dava pere habe, even though kesef compared to zahav is the peirot. Legabe peira tiva hafe. When it comes to peirot, it's going to be considered, then it's going to be matbea. Zahav nami lebe chamai afagav didava legabe kaspa peri hafe. Legabe peira tiva hafe. Okay, so according to Beit Shammai, we're going to say that even though zahav legabe kesef is peirot, right? But legabe peirot, it's going to be matbea. This is what we said. Bechanamar, okay, that was one reading of it, that the machloket's only here and not there. The second person says, af beperot al dinarim machloket. Okay, even turning perot straight into gold is a machloket. Ulamanda amar, now we're going to question this. Ulamanda amar, af beperot al dinarim machloket. If you say even perot on dinarim is a machloket, okay, meaning the second case is going to be a machloket. Okay, we're now going to question this opinion, okay? Ademiflegate, now if that's the machloket, what would you think the bigger chiddush would be to say? That the machloket is peirot to kesef to zahav, or the bigger machloket is peirot to zahav? Peirot to zahav is the bigger machloket. So if we're going to say, lamanta amar, that the machloket is also about peirot to zahav, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said, sla'im al dinarim, right? The Mishnah didn't say peirot al dinarim, so it should have said the bigger chiddush. That even in peirot al dinarim, right? In other words, if you're going to say, the Mishnah said slaim al dinarim, right? Which was the first case we talked about. That if you have Maaser Sheni money, you flip it onto a coin, you can't flip that onto a gold coin. You can't take all your big silver coins, flip it onto one gold coin to have less tishla. So if that's the words of the Mishnah. The second reading is that not only is it slaim to dinarim, but also peirot al dinarim. Well, if that's the case, the Gemara is going to say, yivlog with peirot al dinarim. Sorry, I skipped the line. Ulaman tamar af peirot al dinarim machloket atemiflegei b'slaim al dinarim liflag b'peirot al dinarim. It should have said peirot al dinarim. That's the bigger chiddush. So now they say no, because iiflug b'peirot al dinarim. If you had said that the machloket was b'peirot al dinarim, they're going to assume now that you just, let's say the Mishnah only wants to choose one case and you learn from it the other case. So if you want to say that there's a machloket b'peirot al dinarim, hava amina, you would have thought what hanemile b'peirot al dinarim. Aval b'slaim al dinarim modu lehem lebeit Hillel lebeit Shammai didava legabe kaspa perehave velo mechalalinan kamashmalan. Even though it's a bigger chiddush, if we look at the machloket through Beit Hillel's eyes, right, If Beit Hillel says, remember what Beit Hillel says, you can't do the chilul, right? You can't do it on the gold coins. Now, if he said it just by the peirot can't go on to zahav. I'm sorry. He says you can't be mechalinan. That's why I said it wrong. Beit Hillel says you can't flip peirot to zahav because what did we say? Right? Zahav is always going to be considered the matbea. You might think, though, that he's saying zahav is only a matbea when it compares to peirot. But in the case of peirot to kesef to zahav, you might think that even though Beit Hillel would say mechalelin in the peirot case, what would you say? Maybe in this case, he'll say lo mechalelinan. Right? You follow that? Because in the case of kesef to zahav, even though we would say, right, this is based on the logic of our Mishnah, even though you'd say that zahav compared to peirot is considered the matbea, when it comes compared to kesef, it won't be the matbea. So therefore, if we just told you the peirot case, you'd think, if we look only at Gnadz again, it was a bigger chiddush for Beit Shammai, but if we look through Beit Hillel's eyes, right, if you only have peirot to zahav mechalelinan, you would think that lo mechalelinan in the tzla'im to dinarim case. And therefore, you have to remember also, we paskin like Beit Hillel in general. So obviously, the bigger they want to tell you the bigger chiddush through Beit Hillel's eyes, not through the general machloket. Okay. Therefore, they have to do it this way. Now they're going to say, remember, we said Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, one says this, one says that. Now we want to figure out who says what. So they're going to suggest that Rabbi Yochanan says one opinion, and then they're going to reject it. Tistayim de Rabbi Yochanan hu da'amar em chalalim. Okay, let's assume that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds the second opinion, that even peirot to zahav, there's a machloket. Okay? So now, De'amar, why would we say the peirot to zahav, even there, Beit Shammai would say it's a problem? Because De'amar Rabbi Yochanan, right, remember, peirot to zahav, you would all think, right, what would you think? Of course you could put peirot onto zahav, because again, zahav compared to any peirot is going to be a matbea. So now we're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan seems to view zahav as peirot. Okay, in which case we're going to say that what? If there's a machloket here, right? Remember, Beit Hillel holds mechalelinan. Beit Shammai says, ein mechalelin. Right? So therefore, what are we going to say? That if Rabbi Yochanan says that zahav is not considered a matbea, it's considered peirot even as regards to peirot or just even as regards to itself. Therefore, what are we going to say? Rabbi Yochanan holds like Beit Shammai, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan must do this reading. Because according to the first reading, the machloket's only peirot to kesef to zahav, in which case, peirot to zahav yashar, everyone agrees, yes, mechalelinan. And because everybody agrees, according to the first reading, that zahav is always a matbea. And we're going to show that Rabbi Yochanan seems to have this opinion that zahav is not a matbea. It's not a matbea. And if he holds zahav is not a matbea, he must be holding like Beit Shammai of that reading. So why do we think this? Because what does it say? Asur luvot dinar b'dinar. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. You cannot loan a dinar for a dinar. Why? Because of presumably a rebate problem, because of fluctuation in price. Now, if we talk about prices fluctuating, what do we assume? It's not a matbea. Because remember, obviously, right, what is a loan? A loan is you give someone money and they give you back money. Even if the money goes up in value or goes down in value, right? What do we say? The money is stable. Right? So now, dinar b'dinar. So now, first of all, what is he talking about? Dinar kesef, dinar zahav. This is always a big problem. Every time it says dinar, there's dinar kesef, there's dinar zahav. They have different values and they're talking about different things. So dinar demai. Ilem a dinar shal kesef. If you're going to say this is silver, b'dinar shal kesef legabi nafshe mi ika laman damar lav tivahu. Nobody in their right mind would ever say that silver coins are considered peirot, okay? And they're based on fluctuating prices. Nobody would ever say that because That's the basic form of money that everybody uses. So there's no chance it's talking about kesef. So therefore, right, ela pshita dinar shel zahav b'dinar shel zahav. Uleman, and then who would this go according to? Ila Beit Hillel hamre tivahave. Right, we said, according to Beit Hillel, he views zahav as matbea. Only when it compares to kesef is it not a matbea. But compared to itself or compared to anything else, it's going to be it's going to be a matbea. So, ela la beit lebeit shamai. It must be lebeit shamai. Okay? And therefore, what do we have to assume here? That if gold compared to itself is considered peirot, then also gold compared to peirot is going to be considered peirot, in which case you cannot take your peirot of Maser Sheni and be poda them onto a gold coin. You can only do it, according to this, onto, let's say, a silver coin, and we don't know about nechoshet. We haven't discussed that yet. Ushma mina, and therefore what must we conclude? That they also argue in the Perot as a Hav case, which means, Ushma mina, Rabbi Yochanan, hu da'amar e mechalalinan, right? And therefore we prove that Rabbi Yochanan is the one who said the second reading, which is the machlokes also in the Perot. So now the Gemara says, lo, that's not true. Lo olam e melecha Rabbi Yochanan, sorry, lo olam e melecha, that Rabbi Yochanan, hu da'amar mechalalinan, Rabbi Yochanan is the other opinion. He thinks that the machloket's just from Slayim to Dinarim and not from Perot to Dinarim. But why then Asur Levot Dinar B'Dinar? Shane Halva'a Kevan De Le'inya Mekach U'Memkar Shavinu Rabbanan Ki Pere Damrinan Ihu Niu De'okir V'Zil. Since when it comes to trading gold and silver with each other, right, what do we see in that case? In that particular case, we're going to treat gold as a commodity, which has fluctuating prices. Therefore, legalbe halva'a nami perehave. Therefore, since there is one case where we're worried about the fluctuating price of gold when it compares to silver, and we're going to basically say it's a commodity, therefore, when it comes to a loan, we're going to say, you know, also you have to remember, they always wanted to really shy away from rebeat issues. So we're going to be machmir there and treat it as if it's a commodity, even though it's not really a commodity compared to itself, okay? That's what they're going to say. It's basically a chumrah he has, and it has nothing to do when gold compares to fruits. Obviously, we're going to assume, or gold compares to any other commodity, we're going to assume that gold is the currency, okay? So, ha'achinami mistabra, and not only that, it's not only now, what did we say? This would be maybe a rejection, that we don't know now which one Rabbi Yochanan holds. We can't necessarily say he holds what we thought he held. But now they're going to actually prove that he actually holds the first reading. Because mistabra, it even makes sense to say he holds the first reading, that the machloket is not in Perot Zahav. There, everyone would agree that the gold is the currency. Deki'ata Ravin, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, af al pish amru, asur levot dinar b'dinar. Okay, here we have explicitly passed down in the name of Rabbi Yochanan by Ravin. Right, again, it wasn't like Rabbi Yochanan said it directly, but someone quoted it in his name, so we assume that it's true. That even though he holds that you can't do this loan, that's because of a separate reason, but when it comes to Master Sheni, you're allowed to be Mechalel on gold. Okay, Shema Mina. Okay, next we're going to do, okay, so let's just review. We had the first reading of this Machloka, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Soon we're going to get to the second reading, not yet. We had a koshi on the first opinion, right? And then we explained it. Then we tried to prove that Rabbi Yochanan holds the second opinion. And then we said, no, 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 he really holds the first. Okay? Now we're going to have another source. This one is... Right, 1 second. Right, this is trying to prove now the first reading, that it's only Slaim to Dinarim. Tashma, let's learn from here. Haporet Sela mima'ot ma'asir sheni. If you want to get change out of a sela, 1 second, I just have to remember, because one is change and one is, right, to convert. It's converting. Let me just remember which is which, because the next one's going to be the opposite. Right, Rashi says, Mishayesh lo ma'ot nechoshet. Okay, right, this is what it is. He has a lot of ma'ot nechoshet. Remember, it goes nechoshet to silver, to gold. Nechoshet's less, worth less. So you want to take these, you have a lot of Nechoshet coins. Now what do you want to do? Do you want to turn them into silver because it's schleppy to take all these coins?
But they're also on the Peri side.
They're also what?
They're also on the Peri side.
Right, they're on the Peri side. So. Exactly, so we'll see. Haparet sela mima'ot ma'aser sheni, Beit Shammai omrim b'kol ha'sela ma'ot. You can take all these coins you have, okay, and upgrade them to a silver coin if you want. Beit Hillel omrim b'shekel kesef b'shekel ma'ot. You can only do some of them. Okay? You can't do all of them. You can only do half. Okay? Why? Because what's the issue here? We're worried that when you get to Yerushalayim, if you... Okay, this is like classic. Okay? I'll give you an example from Beit Sefer Ariel. Okay? The school some of our kids go to. So they have these mechirot for the sixth graders every, you know, and the kids to make money for the yearbook, right? They sell things for a shekel, for 2 shekels, for 3 shekels, 4 shekels, right? If you don't come with small change, it's going to be impossible for you to get anything, right? Because you have 700 kids in the school. They're all coming with their 10 shekel coin or their 20 shekel bill, and there's no way, right? So you have to send your kids with little money. Otherwise, forget about it. So it's the same thing in Yerushalayim. Imagine all these people bring their money for Maaser Sheni. Who's going to have change for all these? Right? Remember, also, before they minted coins, right, no one could go to the bank and say, I want rolls of quarters or nickels or dimes or, you know, whatever it might be. So they don't want... So on the one hand, they want to make it easier for you to get your coins to Yerushalayim, because if they make it too hard, who's going to do it? And yeah, so there's sometimes, well, if the halakha is too cumbersome. So they say, half your coins, you can flip. But half your coins you got to bring with you because you got to have small change. Otherwise, there's going to be no small change in Jerusalem. Okay, it's great, right? This reminds us a little of Shkalim, right? Where it's dealing with the reality of what goes on in Jerusalem at the time of, you know, the Aliyah Rego, when everybody's there trying to do the same thing. So now, what do they say here? Hashta legabe lebeit Shammai legabe prite mechalalinan. Right now, if you're going to say, and this is what Ruth, you were saying before, if you're going to say that nechoshet can be turned, right, is viewed as a currency, meaning, because what is this case? This case, forget about the details of the case. The case is premised on the fact that you took your payroll, and what did you do with them? You turned them into nechoshet, not silver, which was the basic assumption. So if you can turn them into nechoshet, obviously you can turn them into gold. And why obviously? Why is it more like a kavachomer? Because gold is more, well, first of all, right, the chiddush is because both are considered payroll compared to kesef. But the other thing is that, what did we say yesterday? That zahav is more chashuv. It's a more important currency than nechoshet. But if you remember, we also had another reason there. Okay, so first they're going to say, Hashta legabe beit shama, legabe prite mechalinan, if you can be mechalin prutot of nechoshet, legabe dava mebaye, right? How can it even be a question? So therefore, we're going to assume that they don't argue in the payroll case. Everyone agrees you could turn payroll into zahav. So what do they answer, like we did yesterday? Shane prite, because ba'atra desagin harife, right? In other words, even though you might say that gold is more valuable, nechoshet is used in certain places as basic currency, and gold is never used as a basic currency. And therefore, you can say that that's the reason nechoshet, but not necessarily zahav. Okay, so we had, you know, we looked into different opinions trying to prove or disprove. Okay, in the end, we don't really come to any conclusion. Now we're going to have the second reading. Lishna Achrina. Here's the second reading of their machloket. Now, what's interesting about the differences here, I wanted to try to chart it out, but I didn't have a chance. But the whole thing was that one said the machloket's just about Tzla'im to Dinarim and not about Peirot, and the other said, no, the machloket's even about Peirot. That is going to remain the same. The difference is going to be, what's the reason behind the machloket, okay? So, mainly in the first option. So Lishna Achrina, Amrei Lei Rabbi Yochanan, Amrei La, people say, there's a machloket, Rabbi Yochanan v'Rish Lakish. Chad Amar, machloket b'sla'im al dinarim. Now here comes the change, okay, you ready? If the machloket is just sla'im to dinarim, what did we say last time? The reason is because, right, one says we're going to view kesef to zahav as kesef is the matbea, and the other says zahav is going to be the matbea as it compares to kesef. But now we're going to say no. De Beit Shammai Savre, ha-kesef, says, right, v'tzarta ha-kesef b'yadecha, you remember that pasuk? We just learned about, right? That's why you can't throw it over your shoulder, because it has to be in your hands. And then we said money, you always have to have money on hand. They darshan that for all sorts of things. But now they're going to work on that word ha-kesef. So when it comes to Maaser Sheni, the pasuk says you'd have to take the money. So what do we learn? The money. Kesef rishon v'lo kesef sheni. The money means the money that you turned your fruits onto. But you cannot change those coins for anything. Forget about whether it's Zahav or Nechoshet or Kesef, even for Kesef you can't switch your coins. You cannot switch your coins at all, okay? If you take your Maaser Sheni, you flip it onto a coin, that coin must go to Jerusalem, okay? You cannot flip that coin twice. Ubeit Hillel Savre, and why is that? Because, remember, the money has to be spent in Jerusalem. So if you start trading it for another currency, you're basically spending that money, so to speak, outside of Jerusalem. Ubed Hillel Savre, ha-kesef, no, ha-kesef comes to be inclusive, not exclusive, the and only this money. Ha-kesef means any money. Kesef riba, it included. Vafilu kesef sheni. And that's the machloka between them. Aval, but according to this reading, peirot al dinarim, divrei akom achalalinan. Why? Because peirot to dinarim is obviously okay, de'akate kesef rishon hu, because it's only been one time flipped, right? And that's okay. So it doesn't matter what currency you flip it on. Whatever currency you flip it on, that's the one you have to take. V'chad amar, and then the other one, whether it's Rabbi Yochanan or Rish Lakish, says, Av bepeirot al dinarim nami machloket. Okay, I told you that was all going to be the same, right? That the second guy says even peirot al dinarim is machloket. Okay, so now we're going to say ulamanda amar slaim al dinarim machloket. The one who said, oh, so according to this, by the way, right? Why are they going to have a machloket even in the second case? Because again, Beit Shammai is going to say zahav is peirot, right? And Beit Hillel is going to say no, zahav is matbea. Okay, that's going to be their machloket in the peirot case. So now we're going to say ulamanda amar slaim al dinarim machloket. Right. So if you say that the machloket's in the case of slaim to dinarim, ademiflege b'slaim al dinarim. What's the reason slaim al dinarim is a problem? Not because it's specifically gold, but because it can't be flipped onto anything, even onto silver. Well, if that's the case, what should the bigger chiddush be according to Beit Shammai? Right. It should be liflegeber slaim al slaim. It should say very simply, even slaim to slaim is a machloket, right? That's again, like we said last time, that's the bigger chiddush. That any coins onto any coins is going to be a problem, because anytime you flip those coins to something else, it's a problem. So then what are they going to answer? Just like they did last time. That's seeing it through Beit Shammai eyes, right? But if you look through Beit Hillel eyes, right, what are you going to say? If legeber slaim al slaim, if they just told us the machloket was any seller to any seller, right? Silver to silver. Havamina, what might you think? That Hanemile is Slaim al Slaim. That Beit Hillel is matir it because it's Slaim al Slaim. Because it's a Vadai currency. Of Al Bislaim al Dinarim, what might we think? Moduluhu Beit Hillel al Beit Shammai, Didava al Gabe Kaspa Pere Have, right? But we might assume that gold to silver, right, would be okay. If you say Slaim al Slaim is okay, then you would think that, right, Beit Hillel would say the gold. Even though you can do silver to silver, because kesef riba, and we can flip it onto other coins, but you can't flip it onto gold, because gold compared to silver is a commodity. Okay? Velo mechalalina, and therefore kamashma. That's why it has to teach you slaim al dinarim. So that's not a question. Tashma. Now we're going to have a question on the first opinion again. Haporet sela shomaser sheni bi Yerushalayim. Now this is not, right? Last time, what did we say? You had all this nechoshet. You wanted to flip it onto one big silver coin so that you could get to Jerusalem, and there was a machloket. Can you do all of it or only some of it? But now you get to Yerushalayim, and you want to break your money into change, right? You want to change your sela into small coins. Go to a money changer. Beit Shammai amrim bekol ha-sela ma'ot. You can change all of your sela into nechoshet. Beit Hillel amrim b'shekel kesef, b'shekel ma'ot. Same idea here, except the logic is different. He says only half. What's the concern? The concern is that maybe if you flip all your nechoshet, you take your big kesef coin, you flip, you get a lot of prutot of nechoshet. Okay, what's going to happen? You're going to have a huge amount of nechoshet. Okay, first of all, sela is 4 dinarim. 4 dinarim is, and I did the math last night, 4 dinarim is 96 isarim italkim, and 96 isarim italkim, if you remember, it's 1/8 of the isar italki is the prutah of nechoshet, so times 8 is going to be 768 prutot. So you're going to take this big, you know, sela that you have, and you're going to turn it into 768 nechoshet coins. Now, what are the chances that when you're in Jerusalem that time, you're going to use all that money up, right? And then what's going to happen? If you have leftover, we don't want you to have all these leftover coins. What are you going to have to do? You're going to change it back before you leave into a big coin. Now, what's the problem with all these money changes? Every time you go to a money changer, he takes commission. So you're going to basically, to do it once, we allow, because you're going to need some coins to spend. So you'll lose a little bit, but you're basically devaluing your master sheni. You took these payroll, you flipped them onto a coin. Now every time you change them, you're going to have to pay a commission. So if you want to schlep these back, right? So don't do all your coins, because you'll end up having to flip them back. And then, you know, like, it's like when you go to a new country, right? It's a perfect example. You don't change all the money you brought with you, because you pay commission every time you do it. And you don't want to end up with all this money of some other currency that who knows when you're going to be going there next. So, and it's the same chashiva. But here, there's the bigger issue that if you lose money, it's not just you losing money, but you're devaluing your master sheni, which you're not allowed to do. So,
are they concerned about the risk that if you don't use all your coins, you might inadvertently then later use them for something else?
I don't think they're so worried about that. I think they're worried about that you're going to bring them home, bring them back on the next regel, and then I think that's more their concern. So now, again, what do you see here? Hashta kaspe legabe prite mechalalina, right? What do you see here? You could take your silver coins and turn them into nechoshet. Velo amrinan kesef risho velo kesef sheni, right? It doesn't say oh, you can't change them into nechoshet because it says, right, kesef rishon and not kesef sheni, so that's a problem with the first reading according to Beit Shammai. Legabe dava dechashiv minei, mi amrina and kesef rishon velo kesef sheni, right? So all the more so when it comes to kesef, who's going to say that you can't flip it onto zahav? So now, what does Rava say? I'm a Rava. No, you confuse the cases. Yerushalayim kamot avta. You're asking a question from when he gets to Jerusalem. Kesef Rishon below Kesef Sheni is a din outside of Yerushalayim because you're not allowed to spend your money outside of Jerusalem. But Shana Yerushalayim dechtiv be. When you get to Yerushalayim, we have to make an exception because it says v'natata kesef b'chol shartav v'nafshecha. You have to spend your money. How are you going to spend your money if you have a big coin? Right? You're not going to be able to spend your money. So we allow you to do this. Okay. Next source. This source is going to be a problem. Now we're going to raise an issue with the whole second reading. Okay. It's confusing. There's two opinions, right? But there's two readings of what those two opinions are. So now we're in the Kesef Rishon below Kesef Sheni, that's what the issue is. And we're going to now reject this whole reading, Bichlal. Okay. Tashma. Haporet Selem Imao Master Sheni. If you take your Master Sheni Maot and you... I have to remember now because these all sound the same. Rashi says, Shayam machalif slaim shebiado v'notel prutot lohotziam l'tzarchei su'udot maser. Okay, you take the slaim in your hands and you get prutot. Okay, so again, you want to get prutot. Oh, it's the same source. It's the same source we just saw. So from this source, Beit Shammai amrim b'kol ha'selam maot, Beit Hillel amrim b'shekel kesef b'shekel maot. Right, you can only do half according to Beit Hillel. Ela dekule alma hakesef kesef riba vafilu kesef sheni. What do you see here? One second. Kule alma hakesef kesef riba vafilu kesef sheni. Why is that a problem? What?
Wait one second.
Ah, right. He's allowing you to... One second. Let me just...
Kesef includes all kesef, and beforehand it was... Before it said, machloket b'slein al dinarim de Beit Shammai.
We're assuming... Right. Somehow they're assuming... Last time we said it was in Yerushalayim. One second. But now... Sorry, we're going back to the first. That's why I got confused. This isn't B'Yerushalayim. This is the first source. Sorry, that's why I got confused. We're going back now to the earlier source. What did the earlier source say? You can take nechoshet coins before you go to Jerusalem. You don't want to schlep all those nechoshet coins, right? What does Beit Shammai say? You can take all those nechoshet coins and flip them onto a silver thing. Oh, well, obviously, then we don't hold by kesef rishon below kesef sheni. Okay? You follow? So that totally knocks out. Those two Mishnayot sound the same. I kept getting confused by them. Okay, so now we're back to the first Mishnah here. It doesn't say anything about Yerushalayim. It seems clear. It's Dafka talking about Michutz Yerushalayim. You don't want to schlep all those coins. You can flip them. Obviously, we say Kesef Rishon. We don't say Kesef Rishon below Kesef Sheni. We say Kesef Kesef Riba. Afilu Kesef Sheni. And therefore, they reject the second reading and they say it must be like this. Here's an additional reading, a third reading. This is their machloket. Chan amar machloket b'slaim al dinarim. Okay, again, the structure is going to be exactly the same, right? Are they arguing only slaim al dinarim? Right, if it was confusing the first time, at least by now, I hope you got it, right? That the machloket is only slaim al dinarim and not on peirot, or is the machloket across the board? So, but the whole difference is going to be, why is there a machloket slaim al dinarim? Okay, what's the basis of that machloket? So remember, I'm just going to review. The first reading was, the machloket is, how do we view kesef compared to zahav? That was the machloket. Do we view kesef as the commodity or kesef as the currency? And the second, or zahav is right, either which way, it's the same thing. The second reading was, it's kesef rishon below kesef sheni, or kesef kesef riba. And then the third is going to be a different thing. Chanamar machloket b'slaim al dinarim. Beit Shammai savrei gazrinan. Now we're getting out of the realm of what's usher mutar. We're getting into a gzeira derabanan. Okay, it's not me. It's not like a doraita halacha that you can't do this. It's a gzeira. What's the reason for the gzeira? Shema yashe aliotav. What are we worried? Dizimne delo malu zuze bedinare velo masik. If you can flip your silver coins onto gold, what might happen? You might say, I don't want to schlep all these silver coins. I'm going to wait till I have enough silver coins to turn these into a gold coin. And I'm not going to go right now to Jerusalem. I don't want to schlep all this stuff. I want to wait till I can change it into gold. So therefore, we don't allow you to go up. And this explains all the nechoshet is allowed, because nechoshet is less, right? Less to more, you know, more to less. But we don't want to allow you to change your silver to gold, because you might wait, and then what will happen? So then the question is, what's exactly the issue with waiting? So maybe they say it's bal ta'achir. You can't push off bringing things to the mikdash, like you're supposed to bring these to Yerushalayim. Or maybe it's just that there's this halacha that you have to bring your master sheni stuff within a certain time period. Ubeit Hillel Savre lo gazrin an shema yishali otav. In other words, just because he doesn't have enough coins to flip it into a dinar doesn't mean he's not going to go to Jerusalem. Like, we're not worried that that's going to affect people. And that's what the machloket is about. Now, why payro to dinarim? Is it okay? And why don't we say you can't flip coins onto a gold coin because maybe you'll never get there, right? Because you're never going to leave your master sheni fruits for the long term and not flip them onto a coin, because if you leave them too long, they'll obviously rot, and then you will never be able to fulfill the mitzvah. So we're not worried about gzeira in that case. Bechad Amar, and the other guy said, remember, either Rabbi Yochanan or Rish Lakish says, afilu beperot al dinarim nami machloket. Okay, right? Even perot al dinarim, we're also going to have a machloket about this. So bishlama lahach lishna da'am marit imida oraita mishrashare. Rabbanan hu degazrebe. Now we're going to go back, okay? Before we read this, we have to read the Mishnah again, because who remembers the Mishnah that we started with today? Okay, the first words we read today were, Beit Shammai amrim, lo ya'aseh adam slaim dinarei zahav. Listen to the words, lo ya'aseh. You can't make them. Okay, that would be the good translation of ya'aseh. So now they say, we're going to darshan from that word, that this is actually, sounds more right, that it's a gzera de Rabbanan and not a halacha midoraita. Which means the third lashon is better than the first two. Anyway, the second one we knocked out anyway, but better than the first also. So bishlam alahach lishada amarid midoraita mishrashari. The midoraita, it's okay. V'rabbanan hu degazrebe. Hainu dekatana yaaseh velo yaaseh. So this is why it says either you can or you can't do it. Now it actually doesn't say you can. Beit Hillel, I didn't read Beit Hillel, but he doesn't use the word yaaseh. But it means really Beit Shammai's lashon of lo yaaseh, okay? Because it should have used which terminology? Mechalalinan velo mechalalinan, right? Beit Shammai should have said, lo mechalalinan. Instead it says, you can't, lo ya'aseh, don't do this. Don't do this sounds like, don't do it, but if you did it, it's okay. Lo mechalalinan means the chilul doesn't work. You follow? In other words, if you say the terminology, the exact terminology, and you say you cannot be mechalel, it sounds like the right. What is lechalel to redeem? It sounds like the redeeming doesn't work. You can't do it. But if you say you shouldn't turn your slaim into dinarim, that sounds like you shouldn't do it. But if you did it, it works, and that's more the lashon of gzera. Okay, and therefore the Gemara answers here kasha. This is kasha. To the first opinion. Okay, we definitely have a koshi on the first opinion. Okay, that's the end of that sugya. Now we're going to move on to chalipin. What's a kinyan chalipin? Kinyan chalipin is what you've generally seen. If somebody takes a handkerchief and lifts it, right? We do this in mechira chametz. Generally, they do it when you do certain things we do where we lift a handkerchief. I think in the Tanaim they do it, right? At a wedding, they lift a handkerchief. So relevant for you. I don't know if you're doing it next week. No tonight. Right. It's not common in Israel. Anyway, that's called a kinyan chalipin. What is a kinyan chalipin? There's two ways you could do a kinyan chalipin. What it basically means is it's like a barter, okay? You could barter two things that are of equal value, okay? And then, you know, again, you're gonna take one and it's gonna be a kinyan on the other. But the general chalipin is when you take something that's not the same value as the item, like this handkerchief, okay? You're doing a sale, but you lift a handkerchief, you pass it to the person to lift, right? He does a kinyan on it, and then usually he even returns you the handkerchief. It's just symbolic. And it's not value, it's not the value of it. So now, there's a whole question about if you do a kinyan chalipin and you use money, okay, yeah, well, let me even, before we go further. The whole kinyan chalipin comes from Chalitza. The pasuk by Chalitza says, okay, let me just find it here. It says, Shalaf ish na'alo v'natan l're'eyu. Okay? It's in root. It says, right, everybody takes their shoe and gives it to their friend. And from there they learn a kinyan chalipin, and they learn that kinyan chalipin has to be done with something with inherent value. Now what's the problem? If you use money to do a kinyan chalipin, right? When you use a handkerchief, so the handkerchief has a value. Now it might not be the value of the item that you're selling, but it has a value. But if you're going to use something that doesn't have a value, like a coin, which has no inherent value, can you actually use a coin for kinyan chalipin? Okay, that's going to be the machloket here.
They do as a commodity, if they work.
If it's viewed as a commodity, then you should be able to use it as a... Right, right.
But choshev, kesef, and zahav do have inherent
what? Yes. So you might say these have value as the metal themselves, but because people don't view this as a metal, nobody views the coin as a metal, so therefore it doesn't have value as a metal anymore. It only has value as a coin. And since the coin itself could get ruined, it's not something also that stays forever. Okay, now nowadays maybe it does more so. But in those days, they would get worn out. Okay, you'll see. We're going to see the machloket inside. So, itmar, Rav Levi, chanamar matbea nase chalipim, v'chanamar ein matbea nase chalipim. So, amar papa, my time adaman damar ein matbea nase chalipim. Mishum, this is exactly what you were talking about, Judy, didate atzurata. His dad is on the tzura and not the inherent value of the coin. Bitsurata avida de batla, and that will eventually rub out, and therefore it's not considered, you know, like a real item, like inherent value. Tanan, so now we're going to use our Mishnah. We're going to say from our Mishnah, Hazahav koneta kesef. When it says Hazahav koneta kesef, my lab bechalipin, what kind of trade are we making here? Isn't this a kinyan chalipin? Ushma mina matbea nase chalipin. And then they say, no, why do you think this is a kinyan chalipin in our Mishnah? Lo, bidamim. What it means is, no, you're actually trying to buy the zahav with kesef. Really, you want zahav and you're buying it with kesef. So, ihachi, now they're going to talk about the fact, and this was confusing us a little bit yesterday, I think, or confused, when you read this Mishnah, hazahav koneh et hakesef. It's a weird lashon, that zahav is koneh et hakesef. It sounds like zahav is, you can acquire kesef with zahav as a kinyan chalipin, it sounds like. Mechayev mebaile, it should say hazahav mechayev et hakesef. So what do they say? Tanei hazahav mechayev. When it says hazahav, what does it mean mechayev? What does it really mean? Our Mishnah, remember, we had to explain what it meant because it's not so clear from the words. Hazahav koneh et hakesef. What does it mean a koneh et hakesef? Because really, right? It's kesef buys the zahav. It's not that the zahav buys the kesef. But what does it mean? It means that the zahav is mechayev the transaction. Because the zahav is the pay rate, which means that's the actual kinyan. When you give the zahav, and the guy lifts the zahav, he's moshech, or he's magbia. That's the thing. And it's mechayev, the owner, right? The people doing the transaction, they have to continue with the transaction. They can't be chazer. So what they say, hazahav koneh et hakesef, what they really mean is, the zahav is mechayev, the transaction. Okay, and that's how really you should read our Mishnah. Hachinami mistabra, and all the more so, this makes sense. Midkatani seifa, hakesef eino koneh et hazahav. When it says then, right, it's obvious. First of all, this is a weird sugya, because what they're basically doing is they're suggesting all sorts of alternate readings of our Mishnah, which we certainly didn't think, like they're just basically justifying our reading of the Mishnah that we have from the first place. Because when it says, "Akesef eino koneh et hazahav," iamar bishlam abidamim hainu damrinan, dava peri bekas betiva, betiva peri lokane. Okay, and what's that?
There's a typo.
There's a typo in the English? Okay. So when it says hakesef eino koneh et hazahav, right? Obviously they're talking about damin, that you're actually buying it and not doing a kinyan chalipin. Why? Because eliyamar bechalipin travayu liknei hadade. If you're just saying that we're using the zahav to do a kinyan chalipin on kesef, you should be allowed to do a kinyan chalipin with kesef on zahav. It should go both ways. And the fact that it only goes one way and not the other proves exactly the way we read the Mishnah in the first place, which is that we're determining which is peirot, which is matbea, and we're talking about an actual sale and not a kinyan chalipin, where you're actually buying, you're giving, let's say, 25 dinar a kesef for 1 dinar of zahav. Ve'od tanya, and also, furthermore, there's a brayta, we're going to even prove it even more in case you weren't convinced yet. Okay, you're very convinced because that's the way we read the Mishnah in the first place. We read the Mishnah on the basis of how the Gemara eventually explains it. But obviously, they weren't convinced at that point. There's a brayta on this Mishnah that says, hakesef eino koneh et hazahav, and now it goes into more detail. Ketzad, Macharlo 25 dinar shel kesef bi dinar shel zahav. Exactly the case I just brought, right? You take 25 dinar of kesef, you trade them for a dinar of zahav. Af al pi shemashachet kesef lo koneh ad shemshochet zahav. So again, iamar bishlama bedamim mishum hachi lo kane. Right? That's why it doesn't work. Ela iamar bechalipin nikne. Right? Even though if you're talking about a kinyan chalipin, as soon as you moshech the kesef, if it's kinyan chalipin, it should work. So what are they? Say elamai bedamim. Okay? Now they're going to ask the elamai bedamim, but if you say it's bedamim, ihacha, now we're going to have a question. Ema reisha, the reisha of that braita says, hazahav koneta kesef ketzad. Macharlo dinar shel zahav b'esrim v'chamisha dinar shel kesef. Right? You sold someone a dinar of zahav for 25 dinari of kesef. Kevan shemashachet hazahav, nikne kesef b'kol bakom shehu. Okay, so now there's a weird lashon here. Right? If it just said nikne, that would have been fine, right? You can't be chozer bo. But it says the kesef is acquired wherever it is. So iamar bishlama b'chalipin, haynu dekatani nikne kesef b'kol makom shehu. So that makes sense if you're talking about that it was kinyan chalipin because, one second, let me remember why this is, because... right. It should. Well, let's read the word. Doesn't work, and then it'll make more sense. Ela I amart bedamim hay nikne kesef b'kol makom shehu nitchayev gavra mebayale. What does it really want to tell you? That once the zahav is nikne, what do we want to tell you in this mishnah? You can't be chozer bo, right? You must pay him money. So it should have said in the mishnah nitchayev gavra. You have to pay the money. It didn't. It shouldn't say the words. Wherever the money is already belongs to the other guy. It's more like you have to pay the money. But Ella, so therefore, it sounds all of a sudden like maybe it is a kinyan chalipin, and what they mean is the kesef that you designated to be part of this kinyan is now the other guy's. So Amaravashi lo olam bedamim umay bekom makom shehu. It doesn't mean bekom makom shehu. It means kimot shehu. Okay, it means however it is. Kida amrle y amrle marinaki chadasha yahivnalach. If it's kimot shehu means as per the agreement. Okay, it doesn't mean kesef wherever the money is. It means kesef the way it was determined. Meaning, if the guy said to him, "I want money, like this sale is going to be, I'm giving you zahav, but I want kesef marinaki chadasha. I want newer money." What's the concern with older money? That it's going to rot quicker. Yahiv nalach. Sorry. Me arnaki chadasha yahiv nalach. You have to give me from the arnak chadash. Lo matza yahiv le me arnaki yishana. Af agav de adifa minayu. Maitama de amrle lishnan kabain alehu. It means that you basically have to give him exactly as he stipulated. That's what it means. Kimochu, kimochu, right? It doesn't mean bekoma komshu. It means kimochu, like he stipulated. And then it has nothing to do with kinyan chalipin. You could say it's all bedamim, and it just means, right? Because anyway, it's more likely to say the whole thing is bedamim. It's very hard to be convinced by this whole mishnah that they're talking about kinyan chalipin. And therefore, our mishnah doesn't provide any proof that you can use this for a kinyan chalipin, that you can use money for a kinyan chalipin. Okay, we're going to get much more into this whole issue of chalipin and what you can use for chalipin, and we'll see this all more of this tomorrow.